Welcome to Eat This Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore, and I am happy to be here with you this morning. It is a nice, cool day today, overcast. We do this twice a week to chew on God's Word and share that with you, hopefully for your encouragement and edification. And this time, we have our own beloved, one-of-a-kind, Rich Carroll. Hello, Rich.
Hello, Chris.
Happy to have you.
Yeah, it's good to be beloved too.
Yes. So,
yeah.
You are, not just by the Lord, but by us too. I think we probably introduced you last time, but it's always fun to reintroduce people for new listeners or people who didn't catch you last time. Yeah. But you were originally from EBF and you were one of the elders on staff here before we came together.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely true, Chris. EBF has been our home church for, gosh, many years, you know, since it started in the community center at Sheldon, and not the very beginning, but close to, anyway. And so, yeah, it was in the early 90s that I came on staff as one of the pastors, and was able to serve there and be used. Mm-hmm. And that was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and gift through all the ups and downs of church life, as we know, which culminated, you know, a year and a half ago of this wonderful merge between University Fellowship and EBF.
Yeah.
That I'm very so grateful for. And I'm just encouraged every time I walk in the door on Sunday morning
to
see the connections and the unity and the people who have around. So, yeah.
So encouraging.
Yeah.
We need to get you on sometime to talk about longevity and faithfulness.
Oh.
Because that is a long time, and that comes rooted as a result of being rooted in a specific conviction regarding the church body, I'm sure. So I'd love to pick your brain on that someday.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be fun to do.
But today, we're not talking about that, Rich. Okay. Nice try.
Tried to move us off, Chris. Take the pressure.
We are continuing our men's breakfast series where we've been recapping men's breakfast, and you taught this last Tuesday, which was awesome. I caught kind of the second half of it. And so I would love for you to just recap briefly what you covered that morning, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris. As you know, and maybe our listeners know, over the last 6 weeks, we've been at the breakfasts, focusing on the last week of Jesus's life.
Yeah.
And on this sixth one, I was given the assignment to think and talk about his crucifixion.
Yeah.
And which is a huge, huge topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my thinking about what am I going to do to narrow this down? And as I read the story several times, you know, that we've all heard, many people have heard many times, the thing that stuck out to me was the first consequence or outcome immediately following Jesus's breathing his last.
Mm-hmm.
It said, darkness came upon the whole earth from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And he cried out, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Mm-hmm.
And then he breathed his last. And then immediately after it says he breathed his last, it says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, now that's, there's so much in that because of what it refers to about, that I thought, I'd like to unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah.
So as I began to think about it, and the focus of the topic yesterday, the message on Tuesday, was that because the curtain of the temple was torn in two, what occurred was in the temple at that time, there was two holy rooms. There was a holy room for the priest who ministered before the Lord in a sacrificial way. And some other areas that they had in the holy room. And then there was this holy of holies where only God dwelt, and it was separated by this curtain. And only once a year could a man cross that curtain barrier into the holy of holies. And it was on the Day of Atonement when the high priest who was chosen that year was given the assignment to go and to sacrifice on behalf of the whole nation, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus breathed his last, and it says the temple, excuse me, the curtain, I keep saying, keeping using those interchangeable, but the curtain of the temple, which some say was 8 inches thick.
That's a curtain.
Yeah, that's a curtain, man. And it was torn in two from the very top to the very bottom of it, which tells us that the barrier separating God from sinful man had been broken.
Mm-hmm.
The barrier had been broken. The door was open. Access. And so access was given to us because of something someone else had did.
Right.
Right, for us. And Christ's death, his crucifixion, opened the door and provided that access.
Mm-hmm.
He, in essence, becomes the high priest.
Right.
Right, the high priest who through his body, the curtain was broken and opened the door for us.
Yeah.
And so that was just a continued unique understanding, or not unique understanding, but clear understanding for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the essence of what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. So you started by mentioning that this is something that we're, you know, if we grew up in the church or we call ourselves a Christian, we're obviously familiar with. But the first thing I want to ask you is, why is it important for believers to revisit in detail and devotion the crucifixion? I mean, we wear crosses, we get cross tattoos, we come to church every Sunday, there's probably a cross on the wall. Why is it still important for us to slow down and really meditate on this?
Yeah. I think there are so many aspects of the crucifixion that God used and uses in our lives to help us to see the relationship that is now has given us the opportunity to have with God himself,
mm-hmm.
because someone, the perfect man without sin, gave his life as a sacrifice and therefore opened the door so that we might have reconciled relationship with God because of the perfect son giving his life as the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God,
yeah.
you know, who takes away the sin of the world.
Right.
And that is certainly a huge, you know, aspect of the crucifixion, that our sins have been forgiven, that once and for all, the sacrifice was made, not just every year, but once and for all, that all our sins could be forgiven. And for us who struggle with sin because of this nature that we still have as a part of us, to revisit, not to re-crucify,
yeah.
but to revisit the significance and what the crucifixion means for us to experience total cleansing and a relationship that will not be taken away from us.
Yeah.
Those who believe, those who've put their faith and trust in Christ will not be taken away from them. I also want to say that we understand that because of this barrier coming down, the curtain separating us from God came down, we have access, and we have access and can come to him at any time and any place and unload the burdens of our hearts, be quick to come and repent because we know we've been forgiven.
Yeah.
Even though at times we don't feel worthy, we don't feel like we're in the spiritual condition that we could come to God, because at times we feel like a hypocrite, right? We feel like, hey, you know, if God knows all my stuff and my sin and the struggle that I have, how can I go to him and talk with him?
Yeah.
You know? But Christ, because he has experienced all the same temptation that we have, it says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 4 says, he's experienced temptation in every way that we have, yet without sin. And that is just... that's kind of mind-boggling to think about.
Yeah.
That Jesus was tempted for selfishness. He was tempted to be angry and bitter. He was tempted to lie. He was tempted to lust. He was tempted in the same ways we have, yet without sin.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that verse, it says, therefore, we can come before the throne of grace to help us in our time of need.
Mm-hmm.
There it is, access. Yeah. We can come anytime, any place before that throne of grace. Not proving myself, not because of my reputation, not because of my merit in any way that I've done, but simply because of his merit, we can come and be listened to and forgiven and can talk with our Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Just as we want.
Yeah. That compassionate high priest, the advocate.
Yeah.
It really is incredible. I was talking with, well, we were talking about it briefly before, and I was explaining this to my daughter of how we have sin, which the cross confronts us in our sin, and how that sin has to be paid for one way or another. And when we put our trust in Christ, we repent of our sins, we trust him fully for his atoning work, then now the Father sees his righteousness when he looks at us, because we still struggle, like you said. And I think the cross really is, I mean, I've heard lots of people, and it is my conviction, and I'm sure yours too, that as Christians, the cross and the gospel was not a one-time consideration. It's an everyday consideration. We preach the gospel to ourselves every day, and in that is this peace that we now have access, and it absolves us of any guilt, any legal dispute against us. And we have one that greets us and says, look, Father, it's my brothers, it's my sisters, it's our friends. What an incredible reminder, especially as we look forward to Easter coming right around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a wonderful reminder, Chris, every day, not just like you say, one time and we think about it and it's done, but it's every day. It's thanking him and knowing that we can come to him and know that we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, one of the things I mentioned on the topic on Tuesday was that there's barriers.
Yeah.
We still carry barriers within us in coming to God. And without trying to think of every aspect of that, I think the main barriers that we have between us, either because of our relentless busyness in life, we don't take the time, or we put it down on the list of things to do. We don't take advantage because of our busyness in all of life. We may know it's important. We may believe that we have access to God anytime, but taking the time to do it in all our business. I think that a second hindrance that I think of is our own pride. Is our own pride that causes us to think that we can earn it ourselves. We can do it ourselves.
Right.
You know, I mean, we all have that still in our hearts as believers, that I don't want to bother God, or I can take care of that. I can do that myself. I can, with enough strength, with enough willpower, I can do it. So we hold off on coming to God. And then the third hindrance that I pointed out and spent more time yesterday on was the barrier of not believing that God's grace is sufficient enough that he loves me enough, that he delights in me enough, that he wants my presence he wants me to come to him. We don't think we deserve it. We don't think we have done enough quite to earn it, earn that access to his presence. And so I think that keeps us.
Yeah.
Keeps us. And if we feel like we're doing pretty well, I might take some time to come, but if things get weighed down, I'm going to hold off.
Yeah.
So
got to get cleaned up.
Yeah. Got to get cleaned up. Clean up my act.
There's a line in a song from one of my favorite bands, my wife and I share in common. And he says, I believe he lists a variety of sins, but he says, don't repent of these things. Repent of your unbelief. And he's listing out these sins like abortion, this and that. He's like, no, repent of your unbelief, that God was insufficient to atone and take care of you. And that really, to me, is the root of that. And I think, repentance is such a beautiful thing, because we align our beliefs with God's beliefs regarding these curtains that we're knitting back together to bring division, whether it be pride or fear or a lack of belief or what have you. And it says, God, you're right. These are sinful. These are things that damage, and I need your help to take care of them, because it's hard to break those cycles, right? We've all lived in those cycles before.
Right, right. It is, Chris. And your thought about our unbelief, you know, someone might listen to this and go, what do you mean? I believe that Jesus died for me.
Yeah.
But it's the functional day by day. Are we believing that God is sufficient enough to whatever situation comes up in our lives?
Yeah.
Is he sufficient enough to forgive us? Is he sufficient enough to give me the grace to love my wife? And is he sufficient enough to handle this tragedy in my life?
Yeah.
And those are the times where we functionally don't believe.
Yeah.
We don't believe he's enough. We don't believe he can really help us. And that's what we need to repent from, like you said.
Yeah, because that belief, we can, and maybe this is a Western thing, I don't know, I'm not that smart to talk about it, but we can reduce belief to an intellectual understanding and not to something that is evident by actions and attitudes. Because you see, belief is not a husk. Belief is embodied. There's evidence and fruit of belief. And I think when you talk about something like busyness, we would all have to say, no, I don't functionally believe. Because if I understood what it meant to have access to the creator of the, I was just really thinking this through this morning, actually. If I understood what it meant to have access to the creator of the universe, who loved me, sent Christ to die for me, pursues me with covenant faithfulness. Boy, howdy, you think that there wouldn't be a single iota of a moment that I wouldn't be knocking on that door intellectually?
Right.
And yet I'm still in this body that is afflicted by sin and have to come to him over and over again.
Mm-hmm. There's still this functional curtain in our own lives that doesn't get opened. You know, we hesitate to open it because of usually one of those three barriers or hindrances that we put up.
So what would you say is something that somebody can do, maybe to diagnose their barriers, and then what do they do about them?
Yeah.
Just practically.
Yeah. It's a good question, Chris. I think it's for someone to ponder and to give understanding and awareness of their own holding on to these barriers, identifying what barrier they have in their life. Is it just busyness? And if it's busyness, how can I carve out time knowing that God wants to be with me? He wants to hear my heart. How can I carve out time? And Jesus had that priority in his life, right? He went to lonely places, the Bible says. He went to lonely places to be with his Father to pray.
Yeah.
And for us who are overly busy, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do I have a lonely place? Do I have a place I can carve out behind a door, closed door, that I can talk with God? And if you're aware that your barrier may be your own independence, asking God to show you how your independence is a barrier to coming and to asking him and trusting him for things that you would just normally want to trust yourself for. And then thirdly, how do you see grace? How do you see God's true grace in your life? Is it enough for you? You know, maybe identifying your lack of understanding of God's love and his grace for you that invites you to come. Clean or unclean, you know, in any condition to come freely before him, because he's opened the door and he sees you through the eyes of Christ and his righteousness. So that's what I think I would encourage for people to ask themselves, what's my barrier? And be aware of it. And what are some of the things I can do to move forward and enter that place, you know, anytime during the day. One of the things I enjoy doing, and the Lord's, you know, worked in my life over the years, But I think I want him to be involved in every meeting or opportunity that I have.
Yeah.
And I just he's taught me because he's shown me how good it is and how helpful he is when I take the time to pray before going into a meeting or a time with a family. Just ask him to help me, ask him to fill me anew and renew my heart, that I would have his thoughts and his words for that situation.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
I think that we can undermine that pretty quickly for lots and lots of reasons, you know, and they all vary in degrees of severity, but nevertheless, it doesn't change what Christ has done for us. And I think it's worth pointing out that these things, like we began with, should be a consistent companion, these thoughts of ours, that we be observant of barriers, we be quick to confess and repent of those things and to believe grace and realize that this isn't for just a certain type of Christian. Like our hearts are so prone to wander, and remembering that he is delighted to see us, you know, helps us draw back to him and to not get tricked into thinking like, no, I'm good. Like, you might be good right now, but in 3 months, where'd you drift?
Where'd you drift? Yes. Zephaniah says, he will take great delight in you. Mm-hmm. He will comfort you with his love, and he will dance over you with singing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what an expression. What a truth about God's, as the father heart of God, delighting over us, wanting our attention, wanting our time, and comforting us with his love.
Yeah, and I love that verse because it in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, here we go. We can diagnose with this. How do you feel about that verse? Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that God dances over you, that he delights in you? He doesn't. Why? Why do you believe that that's not true? And then that can be helpful in navigating, going, oh, what is it in my heart that's wounded or believing something that's false? So I think it's a wonderful reminder.
Yes. Or what have I believed about who God is for all these years that keep me from thinking that he really does delight in me?
Yeah.
He really does dance over me with singing.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Those things are nefarious and a mechanism that the devil kind of cranks on and keeps us in a spot. And I just think as I'm trying to remind myself often of his attitude towards me, it really battles the other attitudes that I've made up about him, the caricatures of God. He's angry. He's impatient. He's looking at me like, come on, get it together, Chris. You know, he's like you're holding the flashlight for your dad and your hands are shaking and he's yelling at you as he's trying to work on the car. We all have these ideas we make up from experience and
we make him into our image, right?
Yeah.
We make him into our image because we think he's like us in so many ways.
Yep. But the cross reminds us of his love for us and the work that he's done to reconcile us to himself.
Mm.
Such a good reminder.
Yeah, good reminder.
Well, we've got one more week of men's breakfast.
We do.
Is Jarrell finishing it up?
Jarrell's finishing up.
Okay.
What happened on Saturday?
All right.
Between the cross and the resurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, Rich, I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on. We'll have to do this again soon.
Yeah, Chris. Thank you. Thank you.
That was a verbal contract. We got him, boys. Okay. Listener, hopefully you're encouraged to reflect on your own life on a constant basis. This isn't a one and done. This isn't as needed. Do this every day. Seek the Lord in prayer, devotion to his word, and ask and invite his spirit to reveal areas that you need repentance for and you need healing by his word and by his work. And we will get you on the next episode. Bye. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.